This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to de-escalate team conflict without destroying synergy. A clear, practical process for cooling tension while keeping collaboration alive. In short, after reading this, you will know how to cool a heated team dispute while keeping the collaborative trust your team has built fully intact. Cause the escalation before it burns through relationships. Separate the people from the problem, then address both. Lock in a shared commitment so the conflict does not resurface. Definition: team conflict synergy is the capacity of a team to move through disagreement without losing the trust, momentum, and collective energy that make genuine collaboration possible. It means managing tension in a way that strengthens working relationships rather than fracturing them. I watched a team leader make this mistake once, and I have never forgotten it. Two strong people on her team were locked in a dispute over project ownership. She let it run for 3 weeks, telling herself they would work it out. By the time she stepped in, the rest of the team had chosen sides. The collaborative rhythm they had spent months building was gone. She did not lose the argument. She lost the team. Here is what makes this so hard. Most people either avoid conflict entirely or wade in too early with a verdict, both of which destroy team synergy faster than the conflict itself. The real problem is not a lack of concern. It is a lack of structure. When emotions are running high, good intentions are not enough. You need a clear process to follow, one that works even when your instincts are screaming at you to either flee or fight. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for de-escalating team conflict that you can use immediately, without making the situation worse. Why managing team conflict synergy is harder than it looks. Knowing that team conflict needs to be addressed and actually knowing how to address it are two completely different things. Most people understand the stakes. They have watched unresolved tension drain the life out of a team. But understanding the cost does not automatically give you the tools to act well under pressure. Here is what makes it genuinely difficult. Emotions move faster than reason. When tension spikes, the amygdala hijack kicks in before your rational mind has a chance to respond. You say the wrong thing, take the wrong tone, or freeze entirely. All three responses make the conflict worse. You often do not know the real issue. The argument you see on the surface is really the one that matters. Underneath most team disputes are unmet needs recognition, fairness, autonomy, or clarity. If you address the surface argument and ignore the unmet need, the conflict returns. Stepping in feels like choosing a side. When you intervene in a team dispute, everyone watches to see whose corner you are in. That perception can damage trust with both parties and with the wider team observing. The team's collective rhythm is fragile. Synergy is not a fixed state. It is a pattern of trust built through repeated positive interactions. One badly handled conflict can unravel weeks of collaborative momentum, and it rarely comes back on its own. Most people lack a repeatable script. Without a clear framework, you improvise under stress, and improvisation under stress almost always defaults to defensiveness, blame, or avoidance. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, your desired outcome is specific. Before you enter any de-escalation conversation, know exactly what you are trying to achieve. Not a vague sense of peace. A specific, realistic outcome or shared agreement on how the two parties will work together going forward, or a clear decision on the disputed issue. In Say It Right Every Time, I call this the first question in the clarity checklist. Your desired outcome must be specific, realistic, and actionable. Without it, the conversation drifts. Number two, psychological safety is established before the hard conversation begins. People cannot listen when they feel threatened. If either party enters the room expecting to be judged or punished, your words will not land. You need to signal clearly, before any content is discussed, that the goal is resolution. Not blame. This is the precondition that most leaders skip, and skipping it costs them everything. Number three, you are genuinely neutral. If you have already decided who is right, do not pretend otherwise. People sense partiality immediately, and the moment they do, trust collapses. Either resolve your own bias before you enter the room, or bring in someone who can hold the ground more fairly. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step one. Cause the escalation before it compounds. The first and most important step is stopping the conflict from getting worse before you try to resolve it. In Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time, I describe conflict as a form of energy. Left uncontrolled, it is destructive. It burns through relationships and grinds team synergy to a halt. But harnessed correctly, it becomes the most powerful engine for growth and better ideas your team has. The first task is to stop feeding the fire. Call a pause explicitly. Do not hint at it. Say directly that the conversation needs to stop and resume at a specific time. Separate the parties if the exchange has become heated. Physical distance reduces emotional intensity faster than most people expect. Name what is happening without assigning fault. Use language that describes the dynamic, not the person. Set a concrete time to reconvene, ideally within 24 hours. Open-ended pauses become permanent avoidance. Use the 3-second pause yourself. Before you say anything in a charged moment, count 3 seconds silently. It interrupts your own reactive cycle and signals calm to everyone watching. Script. I think we need to take a step back for a moment. This conversation is becoming unproductive, and I don't think we're hearing each other. Can we take a 5-minute break and then come back to this with fresh perspectives? That script, drawn directly from Say It Right Every Time, works because it names the problem without assigning blame and offers a path forward in the same breath. After this step, the immediate escalation is contained. Now the real work begins. Step 2. Clarify the real issue beneath the surface. Most team conflicts are argued at the wrong level. People fight over what happened, when the actual grievance is about why it happened or what it meant. Before you can resolve anything, you need to define the issue precisely and neutrally. In my experience, the presenting argument, whether it is about a deadline, a decision, or a comment in a meeting, is almost always a symptom. The real issue beneath it usually involves fairness, recognition, role clarity, or respect. If you want to protect team synergy, you have to dig to that level. Write a neutral problem statement before the conversation. Describe the situation without accusation. There's a disagreement about how decisions on the project are being made is neutral. She keeps overriding my input is not. Ask each party privately what they actually need, not what they want the other person to do differently. This distinction unlocks everything. Listen for the unmet need behind the stated grievance. As I write and say it right every time, most conflicts are just two people with unmet needs. When you can see past the anger to the underlying need, you can find a solution that works for everyone. Avoid letting either party define the problem unilaterally. The framing you accept at the start shapes every option that follows. If you want to go deeper on how unmet needs drive team disputes, how unmet needs drive team conflict, and what to say to restore synergy is worth reading alongside this process. Once the real issue is named clearly, both parties can engage with the same problem instead of talking past each other. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last, and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Explore each perspective with genuine curiosity. This is where most de-escalation attempts fail. People go through the motions of listening without actually hearing anything. The person talking knows the difference immediately. Genuine perspective exploration means approaching each person's account the way a journalist approaches a story, with curiosity, not judgment. You are not looking for who was right. You are looking for what each person experienced and what they need. This is the explore phase of the deal method I outline in Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time. Give each person uninterrupted time to speak. Set a clear expectation before they begin, no interruptions while the other person is talking. Summarize what you heard before responding. Use the empathy bridge, acknowledge the feeling or situation before you address the content. So what you are saying is that you felt excluded from the decision entirely. Do I have that right? Ask clarifying questions that open, not close. What mattered most to you about how that was handled? Not did you feel disrespected. Separate the person from the problem throughout. You are exploring what happened and why, not cataloguing character flaws. Watch for the moment when one party genuinely hears the other's perspective. That is the turning point. Do not rush past it. Script. Okay, I hear you. So what you're saying is summarize their point of view. Do I have that right? That simple question, used consistently, signals respect and slows the reactive cycle. With both perspectives genuinely heard, you have the raw material for a real solution. Step 4. Build a solution together, not from the top down. This is the step most managers get wrong. They listen to both sides, then hand down a verdict. It feels efficient. It destroys buy-in every time. A solution that is imposed on one person is not a solution. It is a temporary ceasefire. I have seen those ceasefires collapse within days, often more explosively than the original dispute, because the person who felt overruled simply waited for their moment. Real resolution requires both parties to shape the outcome together. Present the shared need rather than the competing positions. You both need clarity on who his final say here is more productive than she wants X and you want Y. Invite both parties to propose options before you suggest any yourself. Their ideas carry more commitment than yours will. Test each option against the real issue you identified in step 2. Does it address the underlying need or only the surface argument? Look for the win-win, the solution that gives both parties something they genuinely value. It almost always exists when the real need is visible. For teams dealing with ongoing disputes that have started fracturing the group, the deal method for resolving conflicts that are fracturing team synergy gives you the full 4-step structure to take this further. When both parties have shaped the outcome, they have a reason to make it work. Step 5. Lock in a specific, accountable commitment. Verbal agreement without structure is hope, not resolution. I have made this mistake more times than I care to admit. Two people nod, shake hands, and walk out of the room with completely different understandings of what they just agreed to. 3 weeks later, the conflict is back. The final step is converting the agreement into something concrete, specific, and followed up. This is the lock-in phase of the deal method, and it is the step most people shortcut. State the agreement out loud in specific terms before anyone leaves the room. We have agreed that all decisions about the client deliverables will go through both of you before they are finalized. Assign clear accountability who will do what, and by when. Set a follow-up date, not open-ended. A specific day and time for a brief check-in. Write it down and share it with both parties immediately after the conversation. Acknowledge the courage it took to have the conversation. A repaired relationship is often stronger than one that was never tested. Script. Thank you for this discussion. To summarize, we've agreed that summarize the agreement and next steps. I appreciate your willingness to work through this with me. That close is clean, respectful, and leaves both parties with a clear picture of what comes next. After this step, the conflict has moved from crisis to resolution. What follows determines whether the team synergy holds. Adapting this process for remote and hybrid teams. Remote teams face a specific challenge: the informal moments that diffuse tension in a shared office simply do not happen. No corridor conversation, no shared lunch, no reading of body language across a meeting table. By the time a remote team conflict surfaces visibly, it has often been festering for weeks. Timing matters more than format. Do not attempt to de-escalate a team conflict by email or in a group channel. The first real conversation must happen live, on camera, with both parties present. The absence of visual cues in text-based communication makes every message read as more aggressive than intended. Camera on is non-negotiable. When you cannot see a person's face, you lose more than 60% of the information that tells you whether they feel heard. In a de-escalation conversation, that information is everything. Make camera on a stated expectation before the meeting begins, not a request you make in the moment. Allow for asynchronous reflection between steps. Remote team members may need more time to process than in-person conversations allow. After step 3, a 24-hour pause before moving to step 4 is often more productive than pushing to resolution in a single session. Create a written record immediately. In a shared office, a handshake carries social weight. In a remote team, a written summary of the agreement, shared within the hour, is the equivalent. Without it, the commitment dissolves before the next working day. Follow up more frequently than you think you need to. The check-in that feels unnecessary is exactly the one that prevents the conflict from quietly reigniting. Build it into the calendar before the conversation ends. The core process holds whether your team shares a building or spans 3 time zones. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: waiting too long to intervene, hoping the conflict resolves itself. Why it happens? Intervening feels like taking sides, and most people would rather avoid that discomfort. What to do instead? Step in early, frame yourself explicitly as neutral and name the process before you begin the mistake. Addressing the surface argument instead of the underlying need. Why it happens. The surface argument is visible and concrete. The unmet need requires more work to uncover. What to do instead? Always ask both parties what they actually need before you attempt any resolution. The mistake. Handing down a verdict instead of co-creating a solution. Why it happens. It feels faster and more decisive. Leaders often confuse decisiveness with effectiveness. What to do instead? Present the shared need and invite both parties to propose options before you offer any. The mistake. Ending the conversation without a written, specific agreement. Why it happens. The conversation feels resolved and writing it down feels bureaucratic. What to do instead? Summarize the agreement out loud, assign accountability, and share the written version the same day. The mistake. Neglecting the wider team while addressing the individuals in conflict. Why it happens. The focus narrows to the two parties and the team watching the situation is forgotten. What to do instead? Acknowledge to the group that the situation was addressed and that the team's collective work matters. You do not need to share details. The mistake. Skipping the follow-up check-in. Why it happens. Once the immediate tension is gone, the urgency fades and the check-in gets deprioritized. What to do instead? Book the follow-up before the conversation ends. Put it on both calendars. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each cycle. I have identified the real issue beneath the surface argument. I have clarified my specific, desired outcome for this conversation. I have established psychological safety before the hard conversation begins. I have confirmed I am genuinely neutral before stepping in. I have separated the parties and called a pause if the exchange was heated. I have given each person uninterrupted time to share their perspective. I have used the empathy bridge to acknowledge each person's experience. I have built the solution collaboratively rather than imposing it. I have stated the agreement out loud in specific, accountable terms. I have set a concrete follow-up date before anyone left the room. I have shared a written summary of the agreement the same day. I have communicated to the wider team that the situation has been addressed. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a structured, repeatable process for de-escalating team conflict without destroying the collaborative trust your team has worked to build. This is not instinct. This is a system. Pause the escalation before it compounds, using a calm, blame-free script. Define the real issue with a neutral problem statement. Not the presenting argument. Explore both perspectives with genuine curiosity, using the empathy bridge to signal respect. Build the solution together, because imposed verdicts create temporary ceasefires, not lasting change. Lock in the commitment with specific accountability and a written record. Follow up on a set date, because synergy restored without reinforcement rarely holds. Remember, conflict is energy. The goal is not to extinguish it, but to direct it towards something better. For teams that have already passed the de-escalation stage and need to rebuild after a breakdown, how to rebuild team synergy after conflict or organizational change gives you the next phase of the process. If the conflict involved only two people and you need to mediate directly, how to mediate between two team members to preserve group synergy will walk you through that specifically. And if trust broke down badly enough that a genuine apology is needed, how to apologize to a team member in a way that actually restores synergy covers that with the same care. If the conflict has already done damage and you need a structured recovery framework, the bridge method for rebuilding synergy after a team breakdown and the recover method for when a team conversation goes wrong are both worth your time. Building team synergy is not about avoiding conflict. It is about trusting yourself and your team enough to move through it together and come out stronger on the other side. Frequently asked questions. What is team conflict synergy, and why does it matter? Team conflict synergy refers to the collective energy and collaboration a team maintains even through disagreements. When conflict is handled well, it can actually sharpen ideas and strengthen working relationships. Handled poorly, it fractures trust and grinds shared momentum to a halt. How do you de-escalate team conflict without damaging collaboration? De-escalate team conflict by pausing the heated exchange, naming what is happening without blame, and shifting from positions to underlying needs. Use a structured approach like the deal method to move from emotional gridlock into problem solving. Address the issue directly rather than letting it fester. How does team conflict affect team synergy in the workplace? Unresolved team conflict directly erodes synergy by breaking down trust, creating defensive communication, and splitting the group into factions. People stop sharing ideas freely, collaboration becomes transactional, and collective output drops well below what the team is capable of producing together. What is the DEAL method for resolving team conflict? The DEAL method is a four-step conflict resolution process I outlined in Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time. Define the issue, explore perspectives, agree on a solution, and lock in the commitment. It turns a charged emotional dispute into a structured problem-solving conversation. How long does it take to restore team synergy after a conflict? Restoring team synergy after a serious conflict typically takes weeks, not hours. The initial de-escalation can happen in a single conversation, but rebuilding the trust and collaborative rhythm synergy depends on requires consistent follow-through and several positive interactions over time. What should you say to de-escalate a tense team conversation? Start by naming the dynamic. Without blame, say the conversation feels unproductive and suggest pausing before continuing. Then ask each person to share what they actually need, not what they want the other person to do. This shifts the frame from attack and defense to shared problem solving. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.